Well, welcome to the first Sunday of our brand new series, and the series is titled The Holy Spirit and You. Now, this morning we want to introduce you to the Holy Spirit, and the title of the message is Meet the Holy Spirit, and that is what we want to do this morning. This series will continue on until we come to the wonderful day that we celebrate, where the Holy Spirit came down on this earth, Pentecost Sunday. And so this series will take us through the month of May and the first week into June. If you take your Bibles and turn with me, please, this morning, to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 19. Reading verses just 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. Now, Ephesus was a major city at that time. If you were to go to its ruins today, which you'll find in Turkey, it's an amazing place. It had, you know, some of the finest of all of the athletic facilities. They had so much in the realm of just culture. It was a fascinating place. And so this is where Paul ends up. And when he gets there, he found some disciples there at Ephesus, and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we don't even know or haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. You know, the narrative here implies that Paul, as he came to the city of Ephesus, he came upon this group of Jewish believers that had now become followers of Christ. And he asked them the question, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And their response was, we don't even know that there's such a thing as the Holy Spirit or a person of the Holy Spirit. And as you go through the account, you'll find that he begins to reveal the Holy Spirit unto them, and they willingly receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Throughout this series, there's some things that we want to learn. I would also say that throughout this series, there's some things we want to unlearn. Maybe some misconceptions, things that we've been told about the Holy Spirit that you'll find during this series do not match up with the eternal Word of God. And maybe you'll also discover there's some things that they need to just be relearned. And so we're going to learn some things, we're going to unlearn some things, and we're going to relearn some things during this series. So over the course then of these next weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to explore the person, the personality, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And as we do so, we're going to just encourage you not to miss out on one single week. Invite a friend, somebody that you know, would respond much like those in Ephesus. I don't even know that there is such a thing as the Holy Spirit. And there are friends and there are wonderful people that have never had the opportunity to hear about the Holy Spirit's ministry. So I would encourage you to invite them throughout the series. Here's some of the subjects we're going to be looking at. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit's role in creation. We're going to look at the Holy Spirit's ministry throughout the pages of the Old Testament. And then we're going to spend some time looking at the age of the Spirit. The Old Testament is declared to be the age of the Father. New Testament, that is the age of the Son. And from Pentecost on, is declared to be the age of the Spirit. So what is the age of the Spirit? We'll be talking about that. We'll also investigate a little bit into the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and how to be empowered for daily life by the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning, I want to begin this series by introducing you to the person and the personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, first of all, let me tell you what the Holy Spirit is not, because there are some things that maybe we need to unlearn. What are some things the Holy Spirit is not? First of all, he is not an it. The Holy Spirit, many times I hear people refer to, have you received it? No, it's have you received him? He is a person. And today you're going to understand how fully he is a person with a complete personality. He is not merely a power or an influence. You cannot deny the fact that the Holy Spirit, when it comes upon people, he gives them power, power to be a witness, a power to be an overcomer. But this is not merely some raw power. He's not merely a power or some influence. I remind you again that he is the co-equal partner with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and the Son. He is not manipulative. He does not manipulate people. He's not one that will take and abuse individuals. He's not manipulative. He honors our free will. And sadly, and it is sad, for those who will say, I don't want no part of you, he will leave you. He will depart from you. He will honor your will. He is not manipulative. He is not abrasive. He is a person that is a gentleman in every sense. Everything he does represents well the Father in heaven. He is not scary. Matter of fact, he is called the Comforter. Far from being scary, he's one that brings comfort in the midst of the times and seasons of life when we might be fearful. He is not scary. He is the Comforter. He is not an elective accessory for the Christian life. His role in ministry is absolutely vital to each and every believer. If I were to ask you this morning, how many believing, living here in Wisconsin, or if you've lived in Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, Nebraska, any of these cold country places, how many believe that an automobile ought to have a heater? I think most of us would. But do you realize up until the early 60s, it was considered if you wanted a heater in your car, it was an accessory that you had to buy uniquely and special and add it to the rest of the items of your vehicle. For those of us living in this climate, we understand you need it. And I'm saying living in the spiritual climate and living in this world that we're living in, friends, we need the Holy Spirit. And we need his help and influence and power every day of our life. Amen? And so we're going to be talking about he is not manipulative, he is not abrasive, he's not scary, nor is he some elective kind of accessory that we can either take or leave. You know, a careful study of the Holy Spirit then will clearly show us that he possesses every necessary attribute to be considered a person. Here's some of the things that describe the Holy Spirit. Number one, the Holy Spirit has a will. And the Bible tells us he knows the mind of God. And he reveals to us the mind of God. He has a will. The Bible tells us when it comes to the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He is the one that gives the gifts severally as he wills. So he is the one that deciphers the wills. He is the one that gives and determines the will of God concerning the gifts that we should receive. So he has a will. He is also intelligent. Matter of fact, the Bible says he knows even the mind of God concerning the situations in life that we face. He knows the word of God. He knows the battles that we're in. He knows the way of victory. He knows all of these things. The Holy Spirit is intelligent, but he also has emotion. He has emotions, plural. The Bible tells us that he can be grieved. You know, by our actions towards him, our rejection of him, our actions one towards another in the body of Christ, all of this, the Bible says, it can grieve the Holy Spirit. And the Bible gives us a warning that we should be careful that we do not in any way, shape, or form grieve the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit possesses the ability to communicate. How wonderful it is, that whisper of the Spirit. You know, in times when you're uncertain, you're not sure exactly what choices to make in life, the Holy Spirit comes alongside, and with just a simple whisper, he can change the trajectory of our life forever. He has the ability to communicate. He communicates heart to heart, mind to mind, soul to soul. He communicates in accordance with God's word. And so the Holy Spirit has the ability to communicate, and he wants to communicate with you. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to guide your life. He also has complete personality. Now, when you think of personality and the Holy Spirit, let me give you a definition of what they say a personality is. According to the Anticarta, here's what it says, this particular dictionary. Personality. Look at it on the screens. Somebody's set of characteristics. So it's the characteristics then of an individual, the totality of someone's attitudes, so their attitudes in life, their interests, their behavioral patterns, their emotional responses, their social roles, and other individual traits that endure over a long period of time. So the Holy Spirit then fits all of these characteristics. Now, just before we delve fully into the personality and the makeup of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you about two personal friends of mine. The first is a man by the name of Paul Carlson. Paul, many of you may know him, they go up north to the area of Gillette. He pastored in Gillette for many years, and his son now is a pastor of the very same church that he was so successful in launching and getting started. He's an outdoorsman. Paul, he loves the outdoors. He's a sportsman of every kind. He loves fishing, and he loves hunting. He often shows me the pictures of his salmon, his walleye, his deer, his antelope, his elk. No matter what it is, this guy, he loves to go out in the outdoors. He loves to spend time as a sportsman. He has a very gentle, I think you can even see it in the picture. He has a gentle, reserved demeanor. And he's always, you know, balanced. He's always even keeled. I don't find him ever down, groveling, nor do I find him flying ultimately very too high. He is one that's just, he's a balanced guy, and he has a very analytical mind. He's wise. He's good with finances and money. He's great with investments. He has this boyish kind of innocent smile, and with that smile, he can defuse the most difficult of situations. He is a very caring individual. I can't count the number of times he would say to me, Jerry, I'm concerned for you. And he would have, you know, a time of prayer with me and give wisdom and insight. He was caring and is caring. You know, Paul is very easy to spend time with. You know, I've roomed with him countless nights, hotels all over the place, presbytery meetings and the like. He is one that's just easy to spend time with. This is his personality. This is Paul. This is who he is. Now, let me tell you about someone else, another very dear friend. This friend, sadly, has passed away a number of years ago now. His name, some of you will recognize, as Dan Spina. Dan, he pastored in Appleton at First Assembly of God for several decades before retiring. Quite frankly, Dan was someone that I have to admit that I kind of avoided for a number of years. And it was out of kind of a fear. I'll tell you why. Dan is a full-blooded Italian from New York with a big booming voice and a gruffness like all of those living in New York. And he inherited, as you know, kind of a nickname. He inherited the name The Godfather. And he wore it well. And as a result of wearing the name well, we put him in the position of being the dean of our camps at Spencer Lake. All of us as young pastors would actually kind of flee from his presence because this guy, when he would come, there was a presence about him. And then I got to meet him personally. In reality, what I found out rather quickly, that Dan was not some scary guy, gruff guy from New York, but that he was really just like a teddy bear. His love for God and love for others literally oozed out of his pores. Suffering from cancer in his last days of life, I'll never forget the day that he called me from his hospital bed. He said, Jerry, I'm calling. I want to know, how are you doing? And I said, you're calling me to find out how I'm doing, and you're in your final moments there in hospital. He said, I want to know how you're doing. I want to know how the church is doing. And at the close of that conversation, he said, I want you to know something. I love you, Jerry. You know, many times I've thought and I've wished that I should have sought out friendship with Dan much, much earlier. Because of my own fears and insecurities as a young guy at that time, I missed out on what could have been many, many additional wonderful years of friendship with Dan Spina. Now, hopefully, as I've given to you a little bit of, you know, a definition of my two friends here this morning, maybe as I've been saying so, you get a little bit of a feel. You know them a little bit as well this morning. Now, I want to pass on from these friends to, I want you to meet my friend, the Holy Spirit. His personality is clearly defined for us in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. So as we read now the fruit of the Spirit, I want you to see the fruit of the Spirit is literally spelling out, giving us a definition, giving to us a profile of who the Holy Spirit is and how he would operate. Galatians 5, starting with verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul says, against such things there is no law. There's no law about being too good. There's no law in the books that say you cannot be joyful. There's none that says you cannot have peace of heart. The fruit of the Spirit, then, as I read this portion of Scripture, it capsulizes the personality of the Holy Spirit. And remember, personality is the totality of someone's attitudes, interests, and behavioral patterns. Now, the Holy Spirit's personality, then, if we were to take Galatians chapter 5, and point by point, bring them out. First and foremost, you find the personality of the Holy Spirit is love. And in this sense, when you look up the word love there, it's really talking about not only love as we would call love, agape kind of love, or, you know, phileo love, brotherly love, or any of these particular definitions, but it's speaking of acceptance. I am so grateful for the acceptance of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that is the conduit of God's love. And when we're far away, the Holy Spirit is the one that woos us back. Even though we've sinned against him and sinned against God and sinned against heaven, it's the love of the Holy Spirit that draws us back to the Father. Next, you'll find joy. Joy is defined here as great happiness. Matter of fact, some translations say the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is the life of the party. You say, well, that sounds kind of disrespectful, referring to the Holy Spirit, that he's the life of the party. But let me tell you this. When the Holy Spirit is in the house, there's joy. When he's living in your heart, there's joy. I will never forget the words, you know, of a friend that is now gone home and in glory. But he would say to me all the time, Don Bernander, Don would say, when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I got a baptism of joy. And even though it had been many years since that initial infilling, he knew what it was like at the initiation of that experience of joy. But it was also something he kept alive every day of his life. And that joy, love, joy, that's the Holy Spirit's personality. His personality is one of peace, tranquility. He's not upset. He is not easily, you know, turned into someone that's biting their nails and all of this. It's peace, tranquility. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's a peace that passes all human understanding. It's a peace that when it's present, it's like men and women in the circumstances and situations in which it will remain the peace of God. Others will look at it and say, that makes no sense. How can you be full of peace when you see what's happened to your family, or when you've lost your job, or when the bank is foreclosed on you? And the list would go on and on and on. The peace of God comes through the work of the Holy Spirit, tranquility, but also patience. The Holy Spirit is patient. He is forbearing. He is long-suffering. He is not pushy. Think of how faithful he was and how patient he was with you. How many times did you shrug off the work of the Holy Spirit? How many times did you say, not today, not now? How many times? He is faithful. He is kind. He is patient. You know, kindness is another one of the attributes of his personality. You know, kindness has been described as love in action. It's not only just speaking about it in a noun type of way, but rather it's speaking about it in a verb. It's an action thing. And the Holy Spirit, he shows kindness to us even in the moments when nobody else may do so. Goodness. You know, goodness is defined as active goodness. It's not just goodness that you would take and say, well, he's good, and kind of put it as a personality trait and not see it played out. However, goodness here in this sense is not merely abstaining from something that's bad or evil, but it's the active participation with others and bringing goodness to them. The Holy Spirit is good, and whatever he does for you will be good. And you can always trust that what he does is going to be in your ultimate best, and he's going to always do that which is good. What about faithful? He is faithful, and his faithfulness is proved out. You know, he sticks with us through both the thick and the thin. I'm so glad he doesn't give up on us in the midst of hard and difficult times, but he's faithful. He's right there with us. He is gentle. His gentleness is, you know, it is so wonderful because it's really, it's power under control. You know, when you refer to the Holy Spirit, some people would think that he's just kind of like dunamis. Dunamis meaning, you know, the root word for dynamite. He is power and powerful, and all of that is true. However, all of that power is under perfect control. He is gentle, he is meek, and he is humble. He does not speak about himself. You know, the Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to reveal Jesus, and he'll speak of Jesus. He never speaks of himself. And that is so interesting. When you look through the scriptures, you'll discover whenever the Holy Spirit is speaking in the scripture, he is always exalting and lifting up Jesus. And you know, that is the work of the Spirit. And friends, when we find ourselves full of the Spirit, we cease talking about ourselves and start talking about him. We begin to walk in the ways and the personality of the Holy Spirit. He is gentle. He is self-controlled. He never embarrasses himself or anyone else. He is self-controlled. And the Spirit of God, when he comes to reside within us, he gives us that uncanny ability, the power, the authority to overcome the things in our life that have held us back. Whether it's, you know, our temperaments, or whether it's, you know, a habit of some sort. The Holy Spirit, when he comes in, dwells within us, that becomes the controlling factor of our lives, and we become self-controlled. He does not micromanage us, but rather he gives us the authority and the power over the things that once controlled our life, because he's living inside of us. So these characteristics of the Holy Spirit become ours as he, the Holy Spirit, lives and dwells within us. We become like our friend, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is also a wonderful counselor. You know, there's seldom a day that goes by, and never a week that goes by, that we're not asked for a counselor. Can you recommend someone to us that will counsel either our marriage, our home, you know, raising our kids, or whatever it is in their life? And many times I've made recommendations only to find later on that that counselor was saying something that I totally, completely disagree with on the basis of God's word. And so, you know, I'm rather reluctant at times to even recommend some of these counselors, especially the secular ones. Though they have great wisdom and understanding, they don't understand God's ways or word. And as a result of that, they misguide some people. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He brings godly wisdom and direction into our lives. Not only is he our counselor, guiding us, leading us, and directing our lives, he is our comforter. As a comforter, he heals our broken hearts. Let me tell you, a few moments with the Holy Spirit, your friend, the Holy Spirit, can do more in your life than hours and hours and days and weeks and even years of counseling with someone else. Let the counselor counsel you. Let the comforter comfort you. Let the teacher teach you. The Bible says he will guide you into all truth. You know, it's so good to know the Holy Spirit. He will never speak in error. He always knows the mind and the will of God. And he'll teach us and he'll lead us into all truth. I'm so glad that as we read the Bible, we have the help of the Holy Spirit to interpret. The teacher is right there alongside of us. You know, I've discovered that no one can interpret a book better than the author. And the Bible tells us all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the Holy Spirit has been part of the transmission of the Word of God since the very beginning. And he is the teacher. He will lead you into all truth. And there'll be times when you'll hear something, even from a minister, a teacher, a friend. You'll read it in a book or somewhere else, and you'll say, something just doesn't seem right here. And that's the Holy Spirit saying, you better be careful about, you know, chewing on this any longer. The Holy Spirit will give you insight. And he'll give you direction, and he will guard your mind and your heart, and he'll lead you, the Bible says, into all truth. He is a friend. I want you to see the Holy Spirit, just like I had my two friends up on the pictures on the board for you for a few moments, and I told you a little bit about them and how their friendship has helped shape my life and the person that I am to this day. The Holy Spirit is a friend. Is a friend that is sent by God. Jesus told the disciples before the ascension, he said, I am going to go back to the Father, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you like orphans in this world. He promised he would send the Holy Spirit. He said, when I ascend on high, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit down to you, and he will abide with you forever. Remember what we said last week, because he is up there, he has sent the Holy Spirit down here, we can be successful in our Christian life out there. And that is what he has called us to. It's a life of friendship. And the Holy Spirit wants to be your best friend. He wants to guide your life. He wants to keep you from the pitfalls. He wants to encourage you when you're low. He wants to rise you up and raise you up when you're despondent. The Holy Spirit wants to be your friend. You know, one of the saddest pictures, I believe, that I have personally have ever seen is a picture of Jesus standing outside of the United Nations building. The picture's before you right now. As you can see from the automobile that's parked out on the street there, it's a number of years old, this painting. But it shows Jesus at the place of world peace. At this place that has been described and set aside as the United Nations, a place that unites the nations of the world. And here he is on the outside knocking, asking if he might come in. Here he is, the Prince of Peace. He is the one the world needs the most. He's the only one that can unite and pull together Russia and Ukraine. He's the only one that can bring us together with other nations of the world. He's the only one that can bring us into peace with one another in our families and in our neighborhoods and where we work and all of this. And he's knocking on the door asking, can I come in? I have something to offer to all of you. something to offer to the nations of the world and to every individual in every nation. I believe in the same way, the Holy Spirit's knocking at the door of His church, saying, "Will you let me in? How long are you going to try to do this thing without me? How long are you going to reject what I have come to give you? How long must I knock?" He desires entrance into His very church. And sadly, I would say today, there are churches that have so abandoned the message of the Holy Spirit, though they may celebrate Pentecost Sunday, and they will have, you know, flying from, you know, the streamers and all the various things representing the Holy Spirit, the form of doves and the like. But the person of the Holy Spirit, oh, they may not outright reject, but He's been neglected to the point that I believe that He is knocking outside of His own church, saying, "Will you let me in?" And I believe even more importantly this morning, for all of us gathered here, the Holy Spirit is knocking at our heart's door. And the Holy Spirit is saying, "Will you allow me into your life?" As I mentioned with Dan, it was out of my own insecurity and just kind of hearing what I heard others say about Dan and his rough, gruff voice and all of that. And I missed out on so much by not allowing and seeking out that relationship of friendship with Dan. And once I got to know him, what a wonderful guy. And the very last thing he does from this planet is to call me. Say, "Jerry, I love you. How are you doing? How's the church doing?" He said something else that I thought was rather insightful, suffering with cancer. He said, "You know, I've discovered it's a whole lot more difficult to put into practice the things that I truly believe on this side of the pulpit than on your side of the pulpit." What he was simply saying is, it's easy to say things. It's easy to open God's Word and read it, but not so easy to always live it out. And the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart today. There's a gentle tug, and that tug, He is saying, "Will you let me in? Will you allow me to make connection?" He's the great connector, to connect you with Jesus Christ, to connect you through Jesus Christ with God the Father. Will you bow your heads, please? Father, Lord, this morning we've been looking at the person of the Holy Spirit. We've looked at His personality, and Lord, we're just so grateful that You did not leave us in this world. When You went back to heaven, You said, "I will send to you another Comforter, one that will go with you, one that will be with you, one that will guide you, one that will never leave you nor forsake you." Thank You for the wonderful person of the Holy Spirit. Just as You are physically on this earth, and the New Testament Gospels declare the great things You did for men and women, from the book of Acts chapter 2 on, from the day of Pentecost on, that same work is continued on through the work of Your precious Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray today the men and women would be receptive to Your voice, would not neglect, would not out of fear or something that's been learned in the past. And out of that, there's been a reticence to even be open to the person of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You would do a wonderful work in their heart and life this morning.
As we get to meet the Holy Spirit, we recognize that He, the first thing that He does is that He leads us to Jesus. That He calls us and tells us there is a better life. There is forgiveness. There is hope. There is life. that it's found in Jesus. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, it's calling on you this morning. And maybe for you this morning, meeting the Holy Spirit means saying yes to the tug of the Holy Spirit to give your life to Jesus, to recognize that He is your Lord and your Savior, and that He is the only one who can bring peace with God and peace in your family. And if that is you, I would like to invite you to say this prayer with me right there where you are. Would you accept the invitation of my friend, the Holy Spirit, as He draws you to the Savior? Pray with me. Father, today we recognize that we're sinners, that we need Your mercy. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for the one who is leading us to Jesus. We recognize that we cannot be saved on our own. We recognize that we need to be forgiven by Jesus. Father, we place our trust in You, and we confess You as our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed this prayer with all your heart, this prayer will mean to God as much as it meant to you. And if you prayed this prayer either right now or maybe many years ago, let me tell you something that just happened. The person of the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. And now you can have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what you're going through, but I do know one thing, that the Holy Spirit, He wants to be your comforter. He wants to be the one that stands by you and gives you strength and leads you and guides you. I believe that the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, wants to be your counselor, and to show you the way, and to give you advice, and to allow you to make godly decisions. I believe that the Holy Spirit desires to be, like Pastor was saying, your teacher. Some of us are in the middle of having to make some very big, not only decisions, but changes in our habits and patterns of life. The Holy Spirit desires to be your friend. So this is what I would love to do. Would you stand with me? And as the worship team starts leading us, I would like to invite you to come forward to this altar as quickly as you can. And I want you to, as you get here, start talking to the Holy Spirit and say, "Hey, Holy Spirit, I need You in my life. I need You in a deeper way than ever before." Maybe you need Him as a counselor. Maybe you need it as a comforter. Maybe you need Him as a teacher or as a friend. But I want you to come here right now as the worship team starts leading us and say, "Holy Spirit, I need more of You than ever before."